Welcome to MPT Podcast. This is Pastor Tim Wilbanks. We pray that this Word of God will bless your life and ministry and increase God's blessing upon you. How many knows that God's good to you? God's good to you. And I have prayed and fasted this week and thought from the deaths and the losses we have suffered and what's going on now is, God, did you give us a preamble of what we was fixing to face this week? Is that a preamble of what we were going to face? And that's the goodness of God. He forewarns you. He lets you feel some things that are coming. You know you feel the storm before it gets there because you feel the wind. Amen. So we felt some winds of some heaviness. And guess what? Heaven is going to gain and the devil's going to lose. Holy Ghost. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Ooh. Who seeing, he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple and ask for alms. Oh, and Peter turned fast in his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He was expecting them to give him a handful of money. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took up him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones, they received strength. Oh, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him. They saw him walking and they saw him praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto this man. Oh, and as the lame man which were healed had helped Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch, they called Solomon's greatly wondering. But oh, saint of God, let me tell you, I want to preach tonight where faith comes from. I want to say this with emphasis of what I just got through going over, the losses and everything. You don't let that bother you if you know the Word of God. Because the Word of God's already declared, these things shall come to pass. But we need to focus on what's going to come to pass afterward. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for their hunger, their love, their support, their fight together. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do for these people and feed them the word, seeds to grow and to manifest more in their life. Jesus, we love you. We know that you're in control of all things. Jesus, in your mighty name we pray. And everybody, give God some praise and manifest him tonight. Ain't God good? Somebody open your mouth and tell him how good he is. Oh, we praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you, God, for all you've done and all you're going to do. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Oh, God, we thank you. God bless you. I feel him in the house. You can be seated. Help me tonight. Peter and John, their time to go to the temple on this day at 3:00 for a prayer service. They had prayer. three times a day, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12, and at 3 o'clock in the evening. Looking into God's word, saint of God, it will always show you how to step into the realm that miracles and signs and wonders are manifested in place. It shows you in the word of God and even gives revelation of how to obtain which we seek from God. Anybody seeking that realm or that place with God? You see, the Bible said they were going to prayer. Somebody shout, going to prayer. They were going to prayer at this moment. You see, Pentecost had just happened days earlier. They had received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name. And revival had begun to spread throughout the region in Acts. But here, right now, we read where God began to show the church what they had and where it came from and how that they were to use what they had. This is the first miracle that was recorded after Pentecost. You see, the power that built this faith, the power that built their faith into operating in this realm, the Bible said came through prayer. You ain't wasting your time when you're praying. You ain't wasting your energy when you're praying. The power came through prayer. Oh, but nothing, saint of God, has changed with Jesus. Nothing has changed with Jesus. I said nothing has changed with Jesus. Oh, and with his promises to the church that we can do and reach the realm in the spirit, there's nothing changed. We can still reach that realm. I have seen blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ears unstopped. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen growths disappear. I've seen people healed of different things in their life that we think could never be healed of. I've seen Jesus do it. But the problem today that we fight with is unbelief. Matthew 17 says, Jesus came down the mountain to meet a man. He met a man there who had brought his son to be healed because his son, he told Jesus, he said, oftentimes my boy had been thrown in the fire and the water, and he suffered from seizures, and he suffered from a spirit of seizure that had controlled him and would throw him in water, would throw him in the fire, and there was no controlling him. And I brought him to the disciples thinking that they could heal him from this problem. Oh, but Jesus turns after he tells Jesus. Jesus gives the answer to their problem. Not being where they were. Not being able to heal or deliver this boy. Why couldn't they not heal him? Why could they not see deliverance? Why could they not see a breakthrough? Why could they not see an answer? If we find the problem of not being able to obtain, we should fix it. I said we should fix it. If Jesus gives us the answer, let's fix it. Then the revival that we transpire, the revival that we dream about, the revival that we have visions of, will transpire in our life if we fix the problem. If we attack the problem. Is anybody in the house hungry? Is anybody in the house ready to rise up in war and say, I've been wondering what the problem is. I've been wondering what's keeping me out of it. I've been wondering what's keeping us away from it. I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus has come to bring you an answer to the problem. And I'm here to tell you, I'm attacking with everything I can attack. But tonight, I have faith that Jesus can do anything. I said, I have faith that Jesus can do anything. Listen to this, church. Jesus, he gives the answer to them. If we find the problem, we can fix it. You see, we can get to that place that we speak in Jesus' name. You see, and spirit, we can get to that. I'll say it again. We can get to that place as we speak in Jesus' name, the spirits will be bound and afflictions will be healed. Just as the question is today, why can't we do that? The clear reason of no power is unbelief. The disciples had been given and promised unusual power earlier and had ministered effectively earlier before this time. Things had happened but before as Jesus had given them. Here he said, you have the authority to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. You have authority to cast out devils in my name. Earlier they had that power, and earlier it was working in their life. But you see, things happen. Things happen. Somebody shout, things happen. But right now, they had no power to manifest the healing and help in this boy's life. He had a need. Come on, somebody shout, he had a need. Say, I got a need. I don't know about you, but I've been praying that God gets me in the realm, in the place spiritually, that I can speak to walls and I can see them crumble in Jesus' name. I want to get in that realm that I can speak in Jesus' name and see things transpire before my eyes. Today I was standing before the throne and I was agonizing with God. And I said, God, I'm tired of not seeing it. It's time that I want to see some things that I pray about. I want to see some things manifested. And whatever it's got to be, tell me and I'll do it. I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus has given us an answer of how to take down unbelief, because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Come on, somebody shout, he can do it. Somebody shout, he can do it. Somebody shout, he can do it. My God, I'm hungry for that realm, and I am getting there. I said, I'm getting there. Disciples had been given that promise. Oh my God. But now they had no power to manifest help in this young boy's life. Just as saints of God, there are needs that need to be met. We could have a prayer line and everybody line up. It would take us 3 or 4 hours, Brother David. But you know, I wouldn't mind. We got to shake this old mentality on the wings. Now, that's a devil right there, buddy. That's a devil I hate. I fast against it. I pray against it. And it comes in our mentality. You bring it in because of how you think. It ain't Jesus. It ain't the devil. It ain't worship. It ain't the preaching. It's you. It's how, what we're thinking that controls the atmosphere. I said it's our thinking that controls the atmosphere. I know you're weary. This world is beating the fire out of us. But I want us to get to the place and defeat unbelief, because there's some needs that need to be met in your life. And with Jesus, we can do all things. Somebody praise him. I feel him. He's going to do something for somebody. He's going to do it. Yes, he is. They had, saint of God, hear this. They had been led to that place where Jesus would manifest the power and his ability in her life in prayer. I'm here to tell you, saints of God, I believe, and I know as a shepherd, as a pastor, this church has been led to that place. I'm seeing about 85% nod their head. If you agree with me, somebody wave your hand, pal, I'm with you. But this is it. This is what the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, Brother Josh, has been telling me, the Spirit of the voice of God. He said, I've led you there, and I've given you authority. But what, I've been crying out, what's the problem? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, unbelief. I'm going to prove it to you. You see, something had happened between the time Jesus gave them the authority and the time they arrived here with this young boy. From the time we received the Holy Ghost until we hear now, something has transpired. How many remember receiving the Holy Ghost? You, when you walked away, you felt like you could go bear hunting with a switch. I mean, you felt, some of you didn't, well, you didn't get what I got then. If you got the Holy Ghost I got, man, you feel like bringing on, baby. I will whip you, devil, with a switch. I mean, I was strong, I was zeal, I was hungry, I had faith that God can do anything. How many remembers that tonight? We was at that place, but now between then and now, something has transpired on our journey from then to now. Now, I'm going to preach anyway. Now, there's some boys that God's been sending to us, some people that has needs, and the authority hasn't been there. Why? Because of unbelief. Jesus is begging you to get with him on a Wednesday night. Unbelief. Jesus tells him, unbelief is what killed your authority. Some say, I believe. Just saying it don't mean it. Just saying I believe don't mean it. Unbelief, you ready? Unbelief is questioning the power of God. In any event in your life, you're questioning. If there is any question about Jesus being able to fix a problem or an adversity, you have quenched the very authority that God's given you. If there's a problem in your life and you have a doubt, I don't know how he's going to do it. Bam! If you have a thought, I wonder why he can't do it this way. You're questioning his authority. That's unbelief. And the authority is taken away. That's any thought of questioning and worrying about God's will kills authority. But Mark 11 and 23 tells me and you, oh my God, for verily I say unto you, that what now whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not, everybody say it, speak up, say doubt, if thou shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Leave that up there. He shall have whatsoever he saith. The battle ain't with the devil. The battle ain't with the world. The battle ain't with the music. And the battle ain't with the preaching. The battle is with what we believe. I'm here to tell you. I've been praying, God, block out everything that tries to hinder what I'm believing that you can do. If I feel like something rising up, I attack it in Jesus' name. If I feel a thought coming up, I say, no, get out. Get out. Oh, I wonder how he's going to do it. Why can't he do it quicker? You're questioning. You're questioning God. When you absolutely believe that God can move a mountain, you stand up and say, I believe he can move it. You don't question when, you don't question how, you don't question how he does it, you don't question he has the power, you just stand up and say, in Jesus' name, I believe that this mountain shall be moved. Come on, somebody, you got some mountain that needs to be moved, and I believe that Jesus can move them. Let me paint a picture for you. There's a prayer I'm praying. And I'm praying some walls crumble. Now in my prayer, in my spiritual fight, I'm telling you something I'm praying about. In my spiritual fight, I see in my spiritual eyes, literally, these walls having cracks in them. Brother Eddie, I'm seeing them have cracks in them. And Brother Josh, I'm seeing them crumble a little. But at the same time, I'm hearing voices that are saying, it ain't gonna happen. God can't do it. Oh, come on. Flesh even question it. But every time those thoughts come up, I said, I cast you out in Jesus' name. I cast you down in Jesus' name. Yes, you can. That's all I say. I don't think about how he's going to do it. I don't think if he can do it. I don't think he has the ability to do it. I just said, I know you can. I don't even try to diagram a plan of how he's going to do it. I just know that God can do it. Somebody ought to shout, I know he can. Say, I know he can. Say, I know he can bring my walls down. Say, I know he can bring my walls down. Somebody manifest some praise and tell him, I know he can. I know he can. My God, you can say to the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea. And it shall. Somebody say it shall. It shall, Maudasi. Do you hear what I say? It shall. But not doubt in his heart. Don't doubt. Quit questioning. How's he going to do it? I ain't worried about how he's going to do it. I just got to focus on that he can do it. Well, how can he save my children? I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he is. How's he going to bring revival? I don't know how he's going to do it. I just know he can. How's he going to bring healing? I don't know, but I know he can. Every time he healed in the Bible, he'd heal differently. He didn't heal the same way. That's how he's going to work. He's going to heal differently. I know the devil say, well, God ain't going to heal. Sister Darlene, you're wrong, devil. You're wrong, baby. You're wrong. Because between here and there, there's going to be a healing service. She ain't going to be the same. She'll walk again. She'll talk again. She'll look different again. You lose. Doubt is questioning God how. But shall believe that those things which saith shall come to pass. You got to believe they're going to come to pass. Now, all of you come out of your third world country right now. What are you saying? Because some of you got that third world look in your eye. I mean, you're in a third world somewhere. I'm going to take pictures. I'm going to start taking my camera around. Y'all take pictures of us around. I'm going to start getting somebody to go with me. Take a picture right there, right there, right there. And I'm going to put them on the screen because... Y'all always get me. Amen. But shall believe. Somebody say shall believe. Is you have no question about if God can or will. He shall have. Say I shall have. Whatsoever he saith. Jesus tells that anything is possible if you don't doubt him. When you have distrust in his ability to take care of your need, yet you fill it with something to appease your appetite, that is when you will lose the authority he gave you to become overcome. Jesus desires for you to fully, fully trust in him. His spirit, after he fills you, is to satisfy your desires in your life. John 4:13-14 tells me and you this. Jesus answered and said unto the woman, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never, never thirst. But the water that I give him, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that I give him shall be in him a well of water. I mean springing up into everlasting life. It's going to flow all the time. That where you, the things your flesh hungers for, the spirit is to satisfy that thirst. You drink of his water and the spirit in you will never thirst again. It will satisfy your thirst of your flesh and spirit and hunger. But see, distrust will kill your authority when you turn to other things to appease your thirst. Jesus don't, he's a jealous God, and anything you turn to appease your thirst, that's when you kill the authority that can work in your life. Does anybody understand what I just said? When you turn to things, substance and things to appease that hunger, that's a distrust in telling him his spirit can't satisfy you. That kills your authority. Oh, but Jesus tells them also what gives faith the power to operate. He tells them, Jesus said that great faith is produced through prayer and fasting. This is where we see the manifestation, the power, and the ability of God is when you are continually going to the hour of prayer. Our faith is built strong in Jesus in prayer. Matthew 7 and 7 and 8. He said, and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. It shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh what? Findeth. Him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Come on now. It shall be opened. We have to continually ask and seek for what we need. Ephesians 6 and 18 tells us. He says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Somebody shout, praying always. You don't have time to take a break. You got to continually pray all the time. I told my wife, I think yesterday, the day before, we was talking about Mr. Brown, one of my life coaches. He's on there driving hard, and he said something the other day, talking, and said something that pierced in my spirit. He said, I want you to be aware of something. When you overcome one enemy, get ready. There's another one running to meet you. Let me say it again. When you overcome one enemy, get ready. There's another one coming to meet you. Can I tell you something? This battle ain't going to be over until we reach that other side. But do I have any warriors in the house who's made your mind up? I'm going to rise every day. I'm going to pick my sword up, my shield up, put my helmet on, my breastplate of righteousness. Come on, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm ready to go to war. This is battle. I said, this is battle. My God, I feel him right now. I'm going to get to that place that I'm going to see walls crumble quickly. Matthew 6 and 18, Jesus said, the importance of fasting is then no one will notice, no one that thou appear unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. I'm going to read it from my translation. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything in private will reward you openly. Fasting brings a reward. I'm giving this as a compliment to God. Because every day I pray, he records my prayers, and they're held in vials right now. And I got many of them held up. I got many prayers stacked up in some vials right now. Oh, I got a bunch of them. But in every vial I pray, I do this. I thank God for his mercy and grace on my soul. Because if it wasn't for his mercy and grace, if his blood hadn't covered my sins that I had committed, then the curse would have taken my life, my family, and my health, and everything about me. Thank God for mercy and grace. Thank God for mercy and grace on my health. Because if it wasn't for mercy and grace, Brother Eddie, at my accident, when the doctor did surgery and called my wife, he said he had multiple blood clots in him and we got them all out. You know what a blood clot would do? It could have got loose and killed you. Man, after that, my senses come alive. I become aware and I realize, oh God, your mercy. Your mercy And I thought about last year when I had that anxiety overcoming so much on my mind, and my blood pressure got up 118, 116 over 198 or 99. I was at the point of a stroke, and I thought many times, thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you, God, for mercy. You may not think like that, but you better get your mind in that realm of being thankful, because if it weren't for His mercy, if it weren't for His grace, Brother Patterson, we wouldn't be here right now. Where would we be if it wasn't for His mercy? I thank God, and I say all that, say this. I thank God where I'm at. Thank God for my health. I had to work for it right now. I have to work for it right now. Work for it. Last night, yesterday, late evening, I trying out horses and stuff. I rode 3 different horses for 4.5 hours. Wide open. Yeah, but when you're roping, man, you're working. It ain't no play, baby. It's on, game's on. You're working from top to bottom. I was sweating when I got through. My leg is rubbed raw from riding the saddle so much. My back, my heels. And after I got off, this is what this old boy did. I lifted my hands. You can say whatever you want. Me and Jesus knows. And I said, thank you, God. I didn't take it for granted. Oh, you can sit there with your little attitude and say, well, I'm here to tell you, Brother Roy, ain't it God's mercy that allows us to walk? Ain't it God's mercy that allows us to move? Ain't it God's mercy? Nobody works hard as Brother Roy. He's young. He's 64 years old, and I know he's a little slow, but he's worked hard for 64 years. Shh. Trying to help you. 64 years. But Brother Roy, aren't you thankful for the mercy that helps you get up? Come on, church. I'm thankful. But I didn't obtain mercy with just sitting there. You see, Jesus, man, I had to say that for some reason. Somebody needs to thank God for mercy. Let me put it to you this way. The report could have been bad. You see me hurry. The struggles of the spirit of not being satisfied would never leave until prayer and fasting is proclaimed. Because authority comes from those that, the power of authority comes from those who seek prayer and fasting. If you don't do it, you're going to have unbelief. Peter and John arise at the temple of prayer. A man that was lame from begging for alms laid there, whom laid daily at the place. He may have had this condition for 10 or 40 years. Commentary don't know the years, but he did not know Peter and John. They were at his place, and he was asking for alms. As Peter and John come up, you see, Jesus will send a word to where you're at. You see, it's your job to call out for help. I need help. Peter looks at him before the lame man could say anything to him. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Peter had Jesus. Whoa. Come on, I want you to listen to me. Come on, listen to me. You have Jesus when you are baptized in Jesus' name. Because when you go down in Jesus' name, you receive His name. You have received His name, but after you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're filled with His Spirit. You have something to give to the needs of people. Peter said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hear me, saint of God, tonight. The name of Jesus is not magical. His name only works with faith. You see, and it only works through those that are faithful in prayer and fasting and trust in His ability and power to work. And trust in His ability and power to work. Remember, trust is not doubting that He can do it. Trust is knowing that He can do it. When Peter speaks, you gotta listen to me. When Peter speaks in the name of Jesus, he is speaking on behalf of Jesus. When you speak, I'm gonna help somebody. When you speak the name of Jesus, you pronounce his authority and power over your adversity, your problem, your need, and your circumstance. Mark 16 and 9, 17 said, in my name shall they cast out devils. Jesus' name has authority, you hear me, over spirits, elements, events, and it stands for authority when you say in Jesus' name. You speak the name of Jesus, then you take a hold of it and you direct it to where you want it to go. Do you hear me? For instance, in Jesus' name, I command you to work out. In Jesus' name, I speak healing in the body. In Jesus' name, I command doors to open and chains to fall off. In Jesus' name, I bind that spirit. You know what you are to do right now? Some of you need to wake up out of la-la land, and you need to reach up and grab a hold of that name. It ain't magical, but it has authority. And when you have faith in it, you speak to whatever you're facing, and you say, in the name of Jesus, I command that door to open. In Jesus' name, come on, anybody facing any spirits fighting you? In Jesus' name, I command that spirit to be bound. In Jesus' name, I command affliction to be bound. I command that spirit to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. I feel it. Somebody mention it. Somebody call on his name. We are here. Somebody shout, we're here. We're at that place, saints. We must work on our power and authority now. We're here. We must move into prayer and fasting to see the operating of the power and ability like never before. In Acts chapter 3, 8, the Word of God speaks this. Is anybody hearing anything? And he leaping up stood, walked, entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people, somebody shout, all the people. All the people saw him walking and praising God. All the people. And they knew, they knew, Brother Patterson, that it was he who sent out and begged for alms. They knew where he come from. They knew where he come from. And they all were filled with wonder and amazement at which they had happened unto him. This is where we're headed to. Okay, did all y'all hear that? I figured y'all go buck crazy over that. So see, you got to change your actions. You got to change your reaction. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. We are headed to that. We're headed right there. Talking to a minister about, he said, have you studied for Wednesday? I said, I had Wednesdays last week. You mean you had Wednesday's message last week? I said, I sure do. I said, I got Sunday's message last week. I said, Jesus knows the future. Why can't he share me a word for what's going to be? He said, I don't study that far out. I said, well, how far do you study out? He said, oh, a few hours before service. And my Holy Ghost reads stuff and picks up on stuff, and it picks up on death and the spirit. And I said, oh, okay. This is where we're going. This is where Jesus wants us to be. that where not just the preacher and the pastor, but where the saints of God are out in the public, work, job, school, friends, family, and speak the name and see the lame walk. All people ran to him. Can you imagine what the world would do if you start standing up and speaking the name with authority? We are in the place Jesus has led us to see these things come to pass, church. I know we're there, but I know this for a fact. This is where we are at, and this is where we're going to have to grow. How many agrees? We all got to grow there. You see, another thing, if I had the president here or the governor here or my friends and family, I'm not going to alter my worship because they're in the place. Matter of fact, I might get a little worse. Oh, you're not showing them the real you. You're a hypocrite. I have prayed in front of my governor. I prayed in front of the House and the Senate last year. And I didn't get up there and I felt the Holy Ghost come on me. When I felt it, I said, God, I feel your spirit, Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. And I heard some old elders out there, Brother Josh, say, yeah, come on now. Uh-huh. Come on now. Come on, preacher. Are you afraid of what you have? Are you ashamed of it? We got the power to set the captive free. We got power to set the captive free. We got power to set the captive free. We got answer to a lost and dying world. We got the answer to the lost. We got the answer to the bound. We got the answer to the jailed. We got the answer to those that are confused and abused. We got the answer, and his name is Jesus. Let's stand to our feet, please. Thank you for your kindness. We're going to get there. Are we at that point? We ain't no, we're getting there. But my vision, what he showed me, woo. And I'm fighting every service, fighting every day in my mind and spirit. I see it all the time. I keep it in my mind. I keep it in my forefront of my mind. I see it. In the Holy Ghost while we stand. Now, how many can verify and be a witness, Pastor? I see what you're talking about. Lift your hands high. Hold it high. Now you can keep your hands high or you can lift it again. Pastor, I'm with you. I'm hungry for it too in my life. I want it in my life. I want it in my family. I want it, Brother Roy, in my world. I want it around my children, my grandchildren, my friends. Come on, anybody. Hey, anybody. Let's lift our hearts and hands and pray right now. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your hunger, saints. You're awesome. Come on, let's talk to him. We pray today that this word has blessed you, ministered to the needs of your life. Until next time, God bless you.